Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics and Random. Berto Willis, your host. Thank you so kind for being a part of the show. We are going to have a great show for you today. We have some good stuff for you. Anyway, folks, welcome aboard Michael Rudnin from Brooklyn, New York. And of course, we have Bruce Pollard, who says, I'll be here in Kingwood, Texas. We also have Melanie Keelan says, happy Friday. Hemos llegado. We got here. I hear you, girl. And we have May Wood is in the house from Long Beach, California. What can I say? Did I say Melanie Keelan from Barcelona, Spain? Yes, I did. Hemos llegado, she says. All right. I'm going to take Eric Hayes' bait because I want to. Not because I think it's sensical, but it's because I want to. Because other people that are listening to the program, I want them to hear it. Okay? I hope it's not a close relative, my dear brother, Eric Hayes. Yvette Avery Herod is in the house, our beautiful union activist, the ones who get things done, instrumental as well with the part that she played, even though she wanted a better outcome. But the UPS deal, guys, even though it wasn't the outcome she wanted, was much, so much better than how things were, right? But I mean, for many, not for all, but for many. Anyhow, folks, Eric says, I want to read it correctly. He says, AOC saying debt forgiveness would help people pay for a house or vacation or going back to school, really, after they borrowed and could not pay for their first degree. How about teach financial literacy? This is unrealistic thinking of people, like this lady that doesn't understand basic math. No. She understands basic math very good. In fact, I think she's one of the most intelligent persons in Congress. And guess who else says that? Many of her Republican colleagues say that. They don't want to be left in a room alone with her on policy. You know why? She cleans their clocks. And you know why she cleans their clocks? Because she does her homework. Let's examine her statement. Because you know, the Republicans hear that she says it, and oh my God, she wants debt. She wants us to pay for her vacation. She wants us to pay for her education. She wants us to pay for the house. Pay off your bills. Let me tell you something, guy. When I went to school, my latter 2 years, I believe I did have to take out student loans. And by then I was eligible having a green card. So I took out a student loan. And here's the deal. I paid back every single penny of my student loan. That my empathy, my care of others, my realization that the system in subsequent years have robbed these people of the education that I got, that you got, because you are not a spring chicken, Eric. Let me tell you. The amount that these guys are paying relative to what we paid for education is ridiculous. And don't just blame the schools, even though they play a part in it. Blame your corporations who have paid off politicians not to pay the debt to make school more affordable, but better. These kids are investing in paying for a schooling to make these for-profit companies a whole lot of money. So I feel no ill will. I don't feel that it's a moral hazard to forgive student loans. And she is right. If we forgive student loans, guess what happens? It creates an economic boom because more people can, instead of paying their monies to a bank that may go reinvest that money in Taiwan, they're going to buy a home. And when they buy that home, we're going to have more people building that home. We're going to buy more appliances. We're going to do all those things. They will be singularly responsible for a revitalized economy. So she's right. One more time, and you are wrong. Maybe she goes that maybe they have enough money that finally, instead of being enslaved to a job and a home or a house, not able to spend and have fun, not just living to exist. So she gets to take a vacation. I'm not talking her, but so a few more people, because they get loan forgiveness, get to take a vacation. Oh my God, how bad is that? That somehow they get some leisure after working so damn hard. You see, the enslaved mentality from the Powell memo would have people screw you to spend more of your money up front. And then later on, they tell you, oh, if you ask for forgiveness, if you ask for getting some of this stuff back, somehow there's something wrong with you. You need to learn financial literacy. Yes, everybody should learn financial literacy. But after, you know, our corporatocracy uses many of the lack of financial literacy not taught in school, which should be. A lot of the civics not taught in school, which should be. They use it against us. And in that process, we get people taking out too much loans, not realizing the objectivity of loan versus fiscal reward after graduating from college, all of that. But that is not their doing. That is our doing as a society. So if society try to take corrective measures, repay student loan or forgive student loans under certain conditions, it's a great thing. And again, like I said, I paid off my loans with my earned dollars. Does that mean I feel any animosity towards those who would get a break? Hell no. Do you feel the same way when Marjorie Taylor took that several hundred thousand dollars and never paid it back with that PPP loan out of our money? Do you feel that same sort of resentment towards all those Republican Congress people who took PPP money during the pandemic that they really didn't need, they didn't qualify for, but got it and never to be paid back? Orders of magnitude greater than what we're giving back to some students? I bet you don't. It's okay for those people. The slave mentality is a bad thing. The enslaved mind is a bad thing. Because as Bruce and I discussed when we went out to breakfast or to coffee, I should say, a couple of days ago, or was it yesterday? The enslaved mind, calculated and placed there by the Powell memo, that it is quite evident our brother, or the brother that we love, Eric Hayes, has succumbed to, makes us make bad decisions, make us be evil towards our fellow person. Think about it. Think about it. All right, let's continue. Melanie Keelan is in the house. Love you, Melanie. Yvette Avery Herod, love you, girl. Michael Rudden says the protests the right-wing bubble have been worried about have been mostly nonviolent, though concerns of outside agitators have been raised. PIX 11, outside agitators. Mayor Adams addresses pro-Palestinian protests at Columbia, New York University. And there's a whole lot of agitators out there. But you know what? The good thing about it is while the media, the mainstream media is screwing up in their coverage, we have people coming on like Mark Thompson, who came on to our show. They say, don't believe what you're hearing on the media. This stuff is peaceful. They're shouting and they're giving their chants, but they're not affecting anybody. And many of the people, and in fact, I have a video that I want to show. Oh, did I save that video? I've got to go find that video from last night with Octavio Antonia. She went on campus and she said, stop believing what you're hearing. We need to do journalism. On those crowds, there are Palestinians, there are Jews, there are Christians, there are Israel. All people of all faiths are in a camaraderie in their opposition to the genocide in Israel. Don't sit down there and think it's, is there anti-Semitism? Yes, yes, and yes. Is it on campus? Yes, yes, and yes. But guess what else on campus? Anti-blackness is on campus. It hasn't changed from when I went to school. It is all there as well. But you don't see me going out there, or you don't see my daughter or others on campus when these things going out there to say, "Oh, we need to go ahead and shut these people down." No, 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 no. There's anti-Semitism on campus. We handle those on the individual basis is where it occurs. That is what we do. Eso es lo que vamos a tener que hacer. Si hay antisemitismo, eso es lo que vamos a hacer cuando ocurre. But we don't stop a movement because, just because. All right, Eric Hayes, 54-year-old high school friend. I don't know what that means, okay. AOC wants the typical worker to pay off others' debt, if that's the way you want to frame it. That's, I guess, MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene wants the regular workers to pay off her millions or to give her millions. It's not even pay off her millions, to give her millions. So, you know, no, I don't want to give Marjorie Taylor my money. I don't want to give Marjorie Taylor my money. All right, let's see. Let's see what else we got here. Egberto, can you put this on the screen? Yeah, the screen looks like it's behaving. So I can, oh, wow. I'm so, you know, I was thinking about that. Michael Rudden, thank you so kindly for finding that. Reminder. Okay, I want to blow that up some, Brother Rudden. Let me, oops, wrong page. I need to blow that up so people can actually see it. I love you, Michael. Thank you. When we need this stuff, let's look at our Republicans. Marjorie Taylor Greene received $180,000 from PPP. Or rather, here are 10 Republicans who took advantage of PPP loan forgiveness but blocked student debt relief. Marjorie Greene Taylor, Republican of Georgia, $180,000. Matt Gaetz, Republican of Florida, $476,000. Carol Miller, Republican of West Virginia, $3.1 million. Kevin Hearn, Republican of Oklahoma, $1.07 million. Mike Kelly, Republican of Pennsylvania, $974,100. Roger Williams, Republican of Texas, $1.43 million. Forgiven. Brett Guthrie, Republican of Kentucky. You know, Kentucky is one of those bigger states. $4.3 million. Let's continue. Vern Buchanan, Republican of Florida, $2.8 million. Let's continue. Vicky Hartzler, Republican of Missouri, $451,200. Let's continue, brothers and sisters. Greg Pence, Republican of Indiana, brother to Mike Pence, as I recall, $79,441. Don't talk to me about the children, the people who went to school. Some of them have paid their student loans over several times because of interest rates and how it has, the dire straits that the crippling rates have put them into. And these guys come out there and they get those millions. When you say something about those millions, my dear brother Eric Hayes, I will read another comment of yours. Whenever you decide to say these guys are thugs and thieves, unlike the students who were simply trying to create a better life for themselves. Okay? Let's be clear here. Your folks are the biggest scammer. When I say your folks, I mean the people you like to support are the biggest scammers, the biggest thieves, the biggest thugs, starting from the person they elected as president. Okay? Starting from the person they elected as president. So again, whenever you get there, we can talk. All right, folks, let me tell you, you know, guys, I've been talking about our landslide that is about to happen in November, not only at the federal level, but throughout this country. We're going to see Democrats pick up one after the other. We're going to pick up state houses, governorships, etc. All right. The one thing that I want us to make sure to do is make sure that as far as state delegations, we need to have more Democratic state delegations and Republican state delegations, because we know we're likely to win this election in a landslide, but the shenanigans that can happen in subsequent elections. And remember, I believe it is the past Congress that's going to certify the election. I don't think it's the new Congress that certifies the election. So anyway, so when this landslide occurs, we have to be prepared. First of all, we have to be prepared with building what's going to be a landslide. I'm speaking it, people. I am speaking it. Now you have to get it done because the pathway is there. The pathway is there. I want you to listen to this Republican guy. This is where many Republicans are going to be. I want to repeat this. Listen to this guy. This is where many Republicans are going to be. We have to be ready to get them, engage them, move them, and bring them on permanently. They will be here this cycle. They will be here this cycle. Not necessarily permanently. It is our job to do that. But the pathway has been laid. They have screwed up the politics so badly, both on women, both on healthcare, both on many issues, to make it clear that this is a landslide year coming for whom? Democrats. I've been pointing out for quite a few months now that I continue to believe that this is going to be a landslide for Democrats, and that will bring Biden in. And, you know, you have a whole lot of never Trumpers out there, former Republicans that are out there. And a lot of people think, well, if all these great former Republicans start to support Biden and go against Trump, that's what's going to do it. That's not what's going to do it at all. What's going to do it is when the rank and file Republicans and right leaning independents start to wake up to the election and start to see the light. And when Democrats start to make the positions and stop being timid with their positions, that is when things are going to change. And I listened to this Republican that was interviewed here. And I think what you're going to see is the type of change that I think is going to sort of just come down like a domino. Check this out, then we'll take it on the other side.
Let me take our next guest and tell you about him in case you missed him last time he was on. Last month, Jim Young, a lifelong Republican from Oklahoma, joined our program speaking out about the importance of stopping the disgraced ex-president from ever returning to the White House. But at the time, he found himself in a position that a lot of people, far too many mainstream Republican voters, find themselves in, wanting to stop Trump but not willing to vote for Joe Biden, the one person who can make that happen. John Bolton was here. He was in that position last week. Well, what a difference a month makes. Jim Young has now taken that next step in a new opinion piece in the Oklahoman, urging other Republican voters who want to stop Trump to vote for Joe Biden. He writes this, quote, "I believe our mission is to do everything in our power to make sure Trump does not come near the Oval Office again. We really have only one rational choice, and that is to take a deep breath and vote for Biden in November." Joining us now is the aforementioned Jim Young. Jim, thank you for coming back to talk to us.
Thanks, Nicole. Glad to be here.
You are, there's some growing company, right? There are a lot of Republicans who like you. I know a lot of people anecdotally in my own life who voted for Trump in 16 and 20. They thought he was entertaining. They thought he was different. They now find him tired, a threat to democracy, as you said. But what for your part got you from where you were last time we talked to you, where you weren't going to vote for Trump, but you weren't yet sure you could support Biden, to where you are now as someone who is going to vote for Biden and is urging other Republicans to do so?
Nicole, I've been pretty busy for the last month or so. My son shamed me into going back and watching all the hearings. We were talking about the Liz Cheney's book and the other issues that I've learned about. And my son said, "Well, Dad, I know all of that because I watched all the hearings." So I responded to that by going out and watching all of the 10 major hearings that they had where they presented evidence. And then I even went back to the original hearing that they had with the four police officers. So frankly, I've become sort of obsessed with this whole story, I suppose. But in any case, everything I've done has just reemphasized in my own mind how unthinkable January 6th was. I am convinced that Donald Trump was behind everything that happened, and he should have been disqualified a long time ago, unfortunately. If the politicians in Washington had done their job, he would have never made it to the Republican primary in the first place. So anyway, I've been busy. I've also continued to follow Liz Cheney. I actually even wrote her a letter and suggested sort of a radical plan whereby instead of having to vote directly for Joe Biden, that maybe there could be a third party strategy where Liz Cheney or Paul Ryan or Nikki Haley or someone could be at the head of that new party. I call it the Reagan Party, I suppose. But anyway, the idea would be, assuming that party could get a lot of support from the public through the polls and so on, which I believe they could, frankly, there could be a deal made whereby the party, knowing that it couldn't win the election, could join up with the Democrats and in return for that, get some sort of agreement with the Democrats that we would support Joe Biden in return for some say in governance over the next 4 years.
Yeah,
I know it's a radical idea.
No. I love that idea so much. I wrote a novel about a unity ticket. I mean, I think it is this American fantasy, right? Where you have, you take the best ideas and then tragically it's only a fiction, but it's the kind of thing that makes people more hopeful, right? That something could change. You make me hopeful that something can change, that people can still take in information and change their mind. That's extraordinary, Jim.
You know that Europe has done this for many years, where they form coalition governments over issues. And it was just an idea. I didn't hear back from Liz, didn't really expect to, and that's okay. She's a busy lady. I know she's been making lots of speeches. And obviously, one of the things that allowed me to kind of come to this final conclusion, which is really the only conclusion, unfortunately, that we have to go ahead and support President Biden, is that we just can't have Donald Trump in the White House again.
Now, this is what I'm talking about. There are so many Republicans right now that are at that point. And you know how I know? I talk to many. They're at that point. They're not Democrats. They're not progressives. But they're at the point now where they understand that Donald Trump is simply a clear and present danger to America. But most importantly now, with that about to happen, I have a message for Democrats and progressives. It is time, as these people come over, to engage them, not to talk about I told you so or you were so wrong, etc. Give them a place to land. Give them a place to land. This election could turn out to be the most transformational election, where we divide the country into a 67-33 split, and eventually we can work on the 33. And the 33 being just those people that are, I hate to just put it this way, but mentally ill, that they cannot see the reality. So that is where we're at, folks. This guy is where I think a lot of Republicans and right-leaning independents are going to be pretty darn soon.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead. Number one, subscribe to our channel. And number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.
Absolutely. So Michael Rudden, again, I want to tell you, thank you for finding that chart, because I hope it triggers me to write a blog on this in tonight, because what we have to do is when we have anybody that comes out and challenges student loan forgiveness, et cetera, from my perspective, at least, from a person who paid off their own student loans, I think it is important for somebody like me to speak up, and for those who have paid their student loans to speak up and let it be known that we support, even as we paid off our own loans, we support forgiveness, because at the time that we went to school, the type of economy was not as sleazy as it is today. Likewise, what they've done to our young people, it's not the same today. And then when we look at how our tax dollars are spent, both with the military industrial complex, as well as to these charlatanes, like these Congress people who've taken millions, Republicans who have voted against student loan forgiveness, have taken millions in forgiven PPP loans. The hypocrisy is not even what I'm talking about here. It's the evil is what I'm talking about. And anybody associated with them run the risk of being just as evil as these people that are here at this point that you see on the screen right now. Because what they've done, the one that gets me the most, think about this, Brett Guthrie from Kentucky, $4.3 million, and he voted against it. Carol Miller, $3.1 million, and she voted against it. Madre Mia and Vern Buchanan from Florida, $2.8 million. Five of them have taken over $1 million, and several of them not too far away from $1 million. And they have the nerve. They have the nerve to vote against supporting our people who are going to pay taxes. And if they get a loan forgiveness, the economic activity that loan forgiveness is going to generate way exceeds that loan forgiveness. Michael Rudden says, we can't have Trump in the White House. I can see the worst time play in play, the worst timeline in play. Trump is running on a revenge tour, aiming to push the worst out of his base supporters. If Trump somehow avoids legal culpability, which I think he will, somehow wins the election, he's going to turn the horror on all of his enemies, take the same path as Hitler in 1930s, with concentration camps eliminating his critics and unwanted groups. Those few battalions and military who support Trump unconditionally in the streets, MAGATs, would cheer it on until it's their turn, as authoritarians never stop with just their direct political opposition. Look, I am not buying that right now, Michael. I know it's a fear of many Democrats. All I tell Democrats and progressives and good thinking Republicans to do is get your asses out there and work. And I mean, don't be scared to say we cannot have Trump. There are so many people I meet at Starbucks that look at me and say, I'm not voting for Trump. I can't tell my friends that. I tell them, do you know how many of your friends aren't going to vote for Trump, but they're not going to tell you because they're fearful to tell you? Come on, man. Tom Zarnik says, welcome aboard, Tom. Welcome aboard. Hey, my brother is also in the house. Norman Reynolds says, hey, everyone, again, listening live. Question, would the GOP South Carolina fear a Democratic president be more a direct challenge? A threat of a unitary executive theory stance. It's funny. I don't think means South Carolina. I don't know. But anyway, Supreme Court. It's funny, right? How they're talking about that unitary presidency. Forget about that. He's not. Look. When I say that we have a landslide, if we don't have a landslide, it is because Democrats, which they know how to do very well, screwed up. We should not get less than 67% of the women's vote. I repeat, and we probably should get about 80% of the women's vote. That's the election. We should get 80% of the women's vote, and we're likely to. These women are not going to answer polls and say, I'm voting for the Democrat. Let's take a look. Let me give you all the reasons why I'm looking at a landslide. This is not just Egberto is going crazy. Look at every single state, red state specifically, where the abortion issue went up, where there you can prove that Republicans attempted to sabotage the election in Kansas, and it still won by several points, I think 12, 15 points, even in an off-time election where people don't vote. They try to do this to make it difficult for people to vote, and it's still won by double digits. And by the way, just before the election, the polls had the winning side down by 1 point. It's not that the poll was wrong. It's that you have to remember one of the magical things that are occurring right now. Republicans are scared of Republicans. Take a look at how it happens in the, look at what Mike Johnson had to do to pass those bills. He knew he had to do it, but they're fearful of each other. How are we going to jump over and how are we going to do it? So they have to find a convoluted thing to do what they know they're going to do anyway. When it comes to all these votes here, and here's what I say when I say the Democrats have to do the right thing, however, when I talk about landslide. One, we know the polls are off with respect to every single from the position in New York that we won by more than the polls said to the abortion votes, etc. The polls were off because Republicans answering those polls are scared to tell how they are really going to vote because of how or who's around them or whether it's secret or not. They don't know that. So they are in this cocoon that have them vote in or are talking about who they vote. How do I know that also? Empirically, that's the same behavior I get when I speak to my Republican friends. If I'm at Starbucks and this happened that, you know, a few months ago, but have a good conversation with a Republican. They are agreeing with everything that I say. They even give the impression, though they didn't quite say it, that they are going to vote appropriately in November. Come in another day and see that person. And that person looks at me with horror because they're fearful that as I see them talking to their friends, that I may come in and say something to sell them out. They don't know that their friends also are going through that same angst. I can't really say that I'm going to do the smart thing. But when I get in the ballot box, I do the smart thing, as they did to protect women's rights. And guess what else is happening now? You take a look at Republicans still in Congress, both in all these state houses, they are still voting against women. They're still doing all these things. So what do you think the people in the, what is the message Democrats have to put out there? It's not only that in those states where we have the abortion issue on the ballot, that they need to vote for the abortion issue and then somehow start to support their Republican congressperson they're comfortable with voting with. Remember what I said? Democrats have to get the job done. Democrats have to tag them with, if they are elected, even if you go ahead and vote against the bill, they will work for a constitutional amendment. They will work for an overthrow, just like Trump did in the Supreme Court to get it overturned, just like they're doing right now to allow an outlaw like Donald Trump to get some modicum of immunity. They will do the same thing in the state houses. And we have to build the narrative around that. In other words, you're not only voting, even, you know, some people are going to say, well, I'm going to go vote for women. In other words, I'm going to vote for those bills. I mean, vote for those amendments to make sure that women's rights are protected. But at the same time, I'm going to go elect my Republican guy because I'm a Republican. We have to make that toxic. And it's not difficult to make it toxic because Republicans have made it easy for us to do it this cycle. Are we going to do it? The landslide only occurs if we do it. We make the case. We make the case to young women. We make the case to women. And we make the case to men who really love women. Not the chauvinists, not the patriarchy, not those who, in order to feel they're macho, have to mistreat women, but real men. Real men, young women, and women with a brain. That is how the landslide comes about. That is how the landslide come about. We can choose the pathway, in which case it happens, or we can play timid ball games, or we can play timid games. It's our choice. It's our choice. Tarm Sarnik is in the house. He says, the following countries offer free or very low cost to college. Many to international students as well. Argentina, Australia, Austria, Brazil, Czech Republic, Denmark, Egypt, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Iceland, Kenya, Luxembourg, Malaysia, Norway, Panama, my country, which is La Universidad de Panama, and La USMA, Poland, Slovenia, Spain, Sweden, Turkey, Uruguay. Yeah. And these, and all of them aren't rich countries, you know, but we can't do it. We can't do it. All right. Authoritarian is what you have now. If you believe that, my dear brother, Eric, that's why I talk about, we have to talk to those that are not mentally ill, right? Because only if you are mentally ill, can that trope work with you. Only if you're mentally ill. Can you look at Brother Biden and somehow says he's operating like an autocrat, and you look at Trump and think he's benevolent? That's a mental illness. I'm not even saying that in a doubtful way. I love you. I think you need to see somebody. All right. Let's continue. Michael Rodney says, Milei is going to get rid of that free universities program in Argentina, of course. The Argentinian people stand against him. Courthouse with public education under threat. Argentines flood streets in historic march. You see, it behooves me that people do these stupid things, right? They bring in a right winger. They want their free education. And somehow now they want to get mad because Milei is going to do what he said he was going to do. That is, if you want your Social Security cut, elect Republicans. If you want to make sure kids aren't taken care of, elect Republicans. If you want to make sure a woman has no longer controls her body, elect Republicans. I mean, it's easy. You don't have to think about this stuff. That's where ideology makes you mentally ill. And Argentina did, when they elected Milei, I threw my hands up in the air. It's like, you guys are nuts. You guys, just like Americans were, well, we didn't really elect Donald Trump now. Most people voted for it. A Republican hasn't won an election in a very, very long time. Let's get that clear. We are not a democracy, and that's the only reason somebody like Trump held power for some time, because we have minority rule based on how our stuff is set up. It's a sham. It's a shame. All of that put together. Ultra-right libertarian president Javier Milei's steep budget cuts led public university officials to predict that they can only keep operating for 2 or 3 more months. Yeah, the guy's a criminal, right? You know, start taxing the beef exporters. That's all you got to do. All right. Bruce Fowler says, my wife can't help him. It's too late. He needs electroshock. Just kidding. Hey, Susan, where are you, my beautiful friend? Susan, we need your help. We need you to help a lot of our Republican brothers and sisters. We need your help, Susan. We need your help. All right. Vote in your pocketbook. Oh, Lord. I tell you what. He says, vote your pocketbook. I think I need to play a video I may have played before. I don't know. So I'm going to pull it up for Brother Rudden, because people have the false belief that the economy was better under Trump. Let's listen to a guy who served under Trump. Okay. Let's listen to this guy who served under Trump and see if he thinks that way. Well, we got some more honesty from a former senior advisor to President Donald Trump. And it turns out it's what I've been talking about for some time. You know, while many would like to blame inflation on Donald Trump, on Biden, Donald Trump is really the genesis of this latest inflation. And we're going to explain it, because I got to do a little bit. But let's listen to this first, and then we'll take it on the other side.
There's so much revisionist history, Miles, on the part of Republicans about what happened on January 6th. But there's also revisionist history on the part of voters about how the economy was under Donald Trump. And we know that even if everything breaks Joe Biden's way when it comes to these economic indicators over the next several months, you're still going to have Donald Trump and Republicans who are going to hammer him on the price of food, on the price of gas. He's going to continue to exaggerate his own economic record. I wonder how Democrats combat that, how they get out from under that.
Well, one thing I want to point out, Alicia, first is your point about January 6th and the revisionism. Yep. It's gotten into even deeper, crazy conspiratorial levels. I mean, mm-hmm. just today, Sebastian Gorka, a flunky from Trump's universe, was talking about how there were intelligence officers from newly released filings that they found on Capitol Hill. I can tell you why there were people from the intelligence community there, because that's what happens when you call in law enforcement in the area. You've got people who safeguard CIA property and FBI property. You call in all these different law enforcement agencies. I've overseen those activations, but these guys read those tea leaves like there was a secret op against the country run by the intelligence community. I mean, it's getting wackier and wackier. It's almost it's a different reality entirely. Why is that connected to economics? Because those same weird conspiratorial views are bleeding over into conversations about things like inflation and the economy under Donald Trump. And in fact, you know, some of these conspiracy theory folks think Joe Biden has a secret four-dimensional chess that he's trying to do things in the economy. Look, it boils down to this: whether you're a Democrat or you're a Republican, it's really tough to say the president of the United States is the one controlling the direction of the economy. That's just really, really difficult to do. An economy is a very complex system, like anything in the natural world, and it's difficult to ascribe it to one man or woman's actions. Yes, a president can have influence over that, but there's a lot of revisionist history about what happened under Donald Trump, including extraordinary levels of federal spending that happened under Donald Trump that drove inflation. As a conservative, it was something that was immensely frustrating to me during the Trump administration, is he promised a smaller government, but instead was one of the biggest spenders, if not the biggest spender in American history. So a lot of what we've dealt with in terms of inflation really started during those Trump years.
Here's what's important. Earlier, I mentioned that in previous videos that inflation, the inflation under Biden was not caused by scarcity. It was not caused by anything that would create that supply demand sort issue. Inflation occurred because of corporate greed and corporate ineptitude. That is what is causing inflation under Biden. I don't care what you hear on CNBC, corporate ineptitude, corporate greed. And let me explain. Just-in-time inventory screwed the supply chain just as much as the pandemic, because just-in-time inventory and a pandemic doesn't coexist. We must assume that pandemics can happen. Likewise, we should also understand that deciding to manufacture a whole lot of your chain overseas is also something that makes a supply chain failure. And guess what? It occurred because of corporate ineptitude. Now, the other reason is the corporate folks saw people had money in their pockets, and instead of trying to have them create products for them to buy more, their solution was to steal their money. How? Increase the prices of products, even as their cost wasn't increased as much. So that's a legal form of thievery. But the type of inflation that Trump, however, created is one where he directly caused the increase in prices. How? When he talks about he's going to penalize China with a tariff, and when he applies that tariff, who do you think is paying for the tariff? It's not China paying for the tariff. It's each individual customer who would have bought that T-shirt at a premium now that that T-shirt costs more to bring into the country after your corporations decided that they go manufacture all those things overseas. So again, if you want to look at the genesis of inflation, there are two culprits: tariffs created by Donald Trump and corporate greed created by corporations and the ineptitude of corporations. So therefore, if we really want to be serious about controlling inflation, let's do it right. Make sure you have the right people elected and demand that they pass policies that, first of all, stop the excess profits of corporations by taxing it right back out of them and redistributing it to the people who they were stolen from. And then we can talk about a real equitable economy.
We spend a lot of
that, and that is not too difficult to understand at all. That isn't too difficult to understand. Like I said, if you choose not to understand numbers, that's your mental illness. Even as it's presented to you, if you continue to repeat the same talking points, it proves you have a mental illness. And I'm not saying, I'm not kidding about it. I am honestly not kidding here, folks. A lot of our people have mental illnesses. It's not an ingrained illness. It's something that they were, you know, when people keep putting things in your head and they tie it with certain circumstances and you start to believe it, that is what's occurring in our system right now. I see too many of us suffering from that right now. But you know what? Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, no fear. Like I said, if I think we have 67% of the country that we can work with. The other 33%, I feel sorry for them, but good for them that because we are going to win, they will be able to partake of the good successes that we bring forth. Because we are not, because they are mentally ill means that we are not going to partake of the spoils when we continue. All right, let's continue with this. Tom Sarnick. I love my brother. Now he has a limerick. I didn't reread it, so I'm going to pray that I can get it right the first time. Tom Sarnick, new extended limerick. Let's go. Let me prepare. 6 of 9 supreme sitting on the bench. Throw into the wheels of the justice a monkey wrench. They hear no evil, see no evil, smell no evil. While judgments they make cause social upheaval. Defending Trump's immunity, though he acts with impunity, saying he's can't be prosecuted, even if rivals by him are executed. 6 judges claim that facts just distract. Think of murder, bribery, and treachery can be an official act. Any crime one former president commits, they say is okay. So with smoke and mirrors, Trump's trials they delay and hope just go away. The MAGA crowd must be proud as fists and jaw they clench. A foul-smelling cup of injustice, their America worst thirst for power quench. While another scrotus decision, ill-gotten and rotten, disgusts us much and adds to the stench. Damn, Sarnick! You too damn good for, I mean, that is so good. Loved. Hey guys, in the chat, give 1 to 10. Let's give, let 1 to 10. This is a 20, man. That was a great limerick, brother. When did you write that one? When did you write that limerick? That was a great one. All right. Michael Rodriguez says, Eric doesn't read the articles he posts. Biden is trying to lower prescription drug costs. Trump would aim to cut Medicare to the point of ending it. What Eric doesn't want to understand, that Republicans would point to the problems he's worried about and then do absolutely nothing about it. No. I disagree. It's a point and laugh meme all over and over again. No. It's not that they'll do nothing about it, Radnin. You made a mistake there. You don't make a lot of mistakes, Michael Radnin. You made a big mistake there. It's not that they wouldn't do anything about it, brother. They would make it worse. Come on, Radnin, you know better than that. Come on, man. We're talking about Miguel Radnin now. Come on. All right. I bet you got it before you hear me say it. You figured out your mistake. You figured out your mistake, Mr. Radnin. All right, Paul, Bruce Pollard says, this might be reaching, but could it be that reducing taxes and printing money have the same effect on economy? Here's the problem with reducing taxes. When you reduce taxes, the people who have more money to spend are the people who pay a lot of taxes. The people who don't have to spend any additional money. It's actually called the marginal propensity to consume. So reduction in taxes may add some to the economy, but the, what's called the multiplier is not as effective as pumping money into the economy. Paying off student loans, because these are people that are strapped, they are going to put that money immediately into the economy. Given a 10% tax break across the board, most of that money comes from the billionaires and millionaires because they are the ones who pay in the most. And what that means is they just pocket the money. They just pocket the money. So that's what we're talking about. That is what we're talking about. All right. Tom says, limerick written just today, inspired by the rotten news of the day. Well, you sure as hell were inspired. J. Ray. 713 says that's our brother Ray. Tom C, I rate that 10. Excellent delivery, Egberto. Couldn't be an excellent delivery without Tom C. That was a good one, Tom. I like that one. I may cut that and put it into a TikTok and put a picture of you as the limerick guy. All right. Bruce says, sorry, but calling people mentally ill when you're not qualified might be a bad thing. You're correct. They are just trained wrong. Actually, Bruce, thank you for correcting me. You're absolutely right. Hey, Eric, we have a lot of fun together. Even though when I said mentally ill, what I really mean is what Bruce said. Did Bruce call it? Bruce called it, they are just trained wrong. And you allowed the training to block what you're doing. But when I say mentally ill, forgive me for putting it that way. You know we together. Tom C says, great read, Egberto. Enjoyed your animated delivery. You should be a Shakespearean actor. I don't have the Shakespearean knowledge to be a Shakespearean actor. I think those people have to have some special, Eric, I was bullying you in fun. Come on now, you and my brother, stop it. Come on, stop it. Mike Cisak says, Egberto is usually wrong most of the time. He just keeps denying it. Okay, Cisak. I just like math, my brother Cisak. I just like math. Okay, got to start asking for my ask. So I want folks who can. Yes, agreed, but not. No, Eric, we're all a family. Stop it. We're all together. I'm going to change your mind someday, though, Eric. You know, we're going to have to go ahead and get some coffee so I can slap you around a bit. All right. Now you can then call that bullying. Mike Cetek says, you don't like math. You can't even do compounding interest. You're still on that kick, huh? All right. Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and ask for my support in the program. Hey, guys. First of all, I want to thank everybody for being here. Love you all of you. Even you, Mike Cetek. You know you're my little brother. All right, let's go ahead and get this out of the way. Folks, we need to support the program. I ask you so kindly to do so, those who have the wherewithal to do so. If you go to politicsdoneright.com/support, that has all the different ways. Whoops, that's the wrong thing. That has all the different ways in which you can support the program. And I gave you the wrong click. Here's the right click. It's at politicsdoneright.com/support. politicsdoneright.com/support has all the different ways you can support the program, but I can get you there quicker. Support us on Patreon. Become a patron of the program. Going to politicsdoneright.com/patron. Patron is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. P-A-T-R-E-O-N. politicsdoneright.com/patron. Alternatively, you can support us by getting one or more of our books. And how do you do that? Go to politicsandright.com/books. politicsandright.com/books. Alternatively as well, you can support us by going to politicsandright.com/newsletter. Become a paid supporter of our newsletter. Thank you for that, E2247. Become a paid supporter of our newsletter. Paid supporters of our newsletter as well as Patreon members as well as members of our YouTube posse, all get to read all our books online. I repeat. So it's not like you're just giving something away. All my books, my five books that I've written, those of you who are paid subscribers of our newsletter, those of you who are patrons, those of you who come through YouTube, you will get access to all my books online, the current books and subsequent books. So I ask you so kindly, I would love for you to become paid subscribers of my newsletter, that and more if you can, because I tell you what, this is important work that we do right here. This is very important work, and we could not do it without you. Anyway, I got to get out of here. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics Done Right, and you guys know how I end this baby. I am what? Out.
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.